Now, you grew up in Gary, Indiana. What brought you to Grand Rapids? When did you get here?
I got here in the late 60s. I came here to go to college, and I graduated at the age of 16 from my high school, and my mom wanted me to, you know, get a higher education. So
okay.
I got on a bus, or actually a friend of mine had a little Piper plane that flew me up.
Okay. Is that your first time on a plane?
No, my dad took me.
Well, that's right. You went to Europe.
I've been to Europe too. My dad took me out to California once on a plane back when I was, you know, 13 or something.
Sure.
Like that, 12 or 13.
Sure. But I'm sure, obviously, an experience on a Piper is a little bit different.
Yeah. And then we had taken a couple of flights. I mean, one time, I think we went out to there was some sort of a little airport that mm-hmm. was out by Hobart, Indiana. And
okay.
I think he, you know, slipped a couple of 20s to some guy out there and gave us a little joyride.
Oh, okay.
Did a little spin over top of our house and a few of the places so we could see it.
So what was your impression of Grand Rapids the first time you got here in the 60s?
Well, initially, when I first got here, it was kind of dark and deserted. I mean, there was a lot of downtown was
ghost town.
Yeah, it was pretty shabby looking.
Right, right.
And they had the Woolworths downtown and a lot of broken windows and a lot of empty storefronts.
Right.
It was pretty scary looking.
Wasn't what you see down there today.
No, not at all. Not at all. It's definitely taken a market jump and improvement of what it was. That whole area is not even recognized. If you were to get like hardcore the George C. Scott film that was filmed downtown there.
Which one was that?
It was called Hardcore, and he was some of it was filmed right downtown.
I don't think I ever saw that.
Yeah,
I'd love to check it out.
There's some areas. It was pretty seedy looking.
Huh.
I think that's why they chose to film it down in there.
Okay.
It was down right there, right in front of the what is now the Amway.
Oh, yeah. Really? When it was the Pantland?
Yep.
Okay.
And I don't think it was functioning then. I think it was still, you know, pretty much kind of a empty building,
right?
Boarded
right.
up a lot, and there was a lot of shady and seedy stuff down there.
Okay. Now, you went to Calvin College, yes?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then you became a teacher for a few years, and then you decided that wasn't the profession for you, huh?
I still like to teach. I still enjoy transmitting information to people and sharing that with people who are willing to learn. It's just that sometimes the structure that we've created isn't always the best laboratory for that.
Sure.
It doesn't always allow for the freedom to learn. I mean, there's a lot more things that are going on.
Right.
And it's more of an indoctrinational type of environment for institutions.
True, very true. So, I mean, we've changed so much as a society, so it should seem like the format for teaching should change as well.
Yeah, and I think they're starting to realize
definitely.
That. I mean, I think that would probably answer a lot of the questions that people have when it comes to people who have ADD or are not able to function in a classroom. You just can't.
Not everybody learns the same.
You can't throw a test at somebody and expect them all to come out, you know, because everybody has a different ability for dealing with that.
Sure, absolutely. Now, I understand you also have quite an interest in poetry. How do you feel that shaped your songwriting?
Well, I was actually much more interested in poetry and literature and English words. I used to read the dictionary.
Okay.
Used to do a lot of those crossword puzzles and things that had to deal with words and etymology and those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
I was much more into that. And I think I picked up the guitar when I came away to college just so that I could actually have people listen to poetry, because we were past that period of the beat thing, which I was fascinated by.
Mm-hmm.
But there you had musical backgrounds, different, you know, soundtracks and things from what was going on in Greenwich Village and stuff. But it wasn't quite the same thing happening in the 60s. So you needed something else going on, some music or something going on. So it became more about writing songs.
Okay.
You put the poetry to music, and then it becomes a song, and then it becomes listenable to people, or people will pay attention to it more.
Right.
You call it poetry, it was like, you know, it was... Yeah, they weren't too interested.
Right.
I'm glad to see there's a change, you know.
Sure.
There's been more of a change for that, as you see the whole slam poetry and poetry get-togethers.
Yeah, it seems like that's really become hot again.
Yeah, and the hip-hop is a lot going on in that whole thing, too.
Sure. What was the first poem you wrote?
Oh,
you remember?
Do I remember my first poem? I don't remember that.
But you basically got to a point where you kind of married the poetry and the music.
Yeah, I think I was fascinated by, I think there was something like, you know, 1,000 drops of Retsin in the sky falling. It was like one of these, to me, it was like the word Retsin. That was like a totally fabricated word by somebody who was doing commercials.
Okay.
I think Retsin was some...
Was that mint?
...secret ingredient that was in some sort of a mouthwash or toothpaste or something.
Right, right, right.
But I thought it was kind of fascinating, so I just, you know, took it and, you know, 1,000 drops of Retsin in the sky. It was sort of a blend of that whole thing.
I don't think I've heard that word since, like, the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah, it was kind of one of those things.
Now, you released your last album, Little Miracles, in 2010. What have you been working on lately? Any plans for a new release?
Well, the Little Miracles was never really an official release.
Okay.
It sort of got dribbled. It kind of dribbled its way out.
Okay.
And in fact, I'm still looking for to put that out in a much larger scale.
Okay.
The hope is to actually put it out in a form or in a distributed way.
Okay.
So I'm looking for ways to do that, yeah.
What are you thinking about for distribution?
Again, I think we did it in the digital form primarily, and I think that seems to be the way it's going. I still have a number of folks who are asking for it in a CD form.
Okay.
So I may do a limited run of those.
Okay.
But when I'm talking about distribution, more what I'm talking about would be a wider spread and a further reach than where it's at right now. It's pretty much, that album pretty much stayed within the confines of the Grand Rapids area.
Now, the first time I met you, I believe, was back in 2009. It was at one of the One Trick Pony benefits. They were doing benefits around the time you'd learned that you had cancer, and you've obviously since beaten that. But I remember during that time, such a very strong public support, as well as from the musical community. What kept you going during that time?
Well... I think just knowing that there were a number of people who probably were facing somewhat of the same thing and didn't have either the words or the platform or the opportunity to speak to it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think for me, I guess I saw it as a way of delivering that and being that for them.
Because I remember you were out and about quite a bit. I mean, even times when you didn't have to be. And it was just amazing to see that.
Yeah, I mean, there was a sense of energy and a sense of drive that was there. And I think that was part of it, was just to give a sense of continuing on and being able to live your life, you know, as much as possible.
Sure, sure. And be able to communicate that.
Yeah.
So who were some of the folks who you found helpful as you went through that?
Well, I mean, the whole medical team at St. Mary's in Lex Cancer Center were probably the biggest champions, you know, in terms of what they were bringing to the table and things that, you know,
sure,
how they tried to monitor what was going on and the medication and the treatments and things like that. That was having a good support in that area is really really helpful. And they've got a tremendous staff of people who seem to listen, and I mean they do. It's not I don't know. It's hard to put a lot of words to that.